Now let's consider Book 4 and three different chapters, 3, 4, and parts of Chapter 5. These are titled, Of the Extraordinary Restraints Upon the Importation of Goods of Almost All Kinds, Of Drawbacks, that's 4, and 5, Of Bounties. For the most part, I'm trying to do one video for each chapter, but these chapters have a lot of scattered material. I think parts of them aren't that interesting, and they also have a lot of mistakes, so I'm going to cover these three all together. Just to come right out and say it, these aren't actually my favorite parts of Wealth of Nations. They're some of my least favorite parts. In these chapters, you'll find a lot of particular observations about England and France and the trade between those two nations. This is applying Smith's general insights before. There is one interesting part where he notes that actually, in principle, England and France ought to be very strong trading allies, even though they were not during Smith's time. In Chapter 3, there's an entire digression on the Bank of Amsterdam, which was founded in 1609 and arguably counts as Europe's first central bank. This section again shows Smith to be a keen observer of detail, and I think also you can read it as Smith having some sympathies for an idea of a national central bank. That said, it's not very well integrated into the main thread of the argument here. In Chapter 4, Smith is basically arguing that drawbacks are okay. Drawbacks, in case you're wondering, is when a government gives a kind of tax rebate for exports. So let's say you pay an internal tax on production, and you then export those goods and services. Well, the drawback is giving you back some of the tax you paid, and Smith tries to argue that drawbacks in general are correcting distortions rather than creating new ones. Most of Chapter 5 is about bounties or export subsidies, and here Smith is really doing a lot of analysis. He starts with a good argument that bounties tend to distort the allocation of resources, as would be indicated by normal market prices. So far this makes sense, and it's simply a repetition of Smith's earlier arguments. But then he veers off course, and he makes some very complicated arguments against bounties, in particular bounties on corn. So Smith argues that if you subsidize the export of corn, that, due to some of Smith's earlier views on measures of value, that this bounty for the export of corn will have inflationary implications for the rest of the economy. There's then an even more complicated argument where Smith argues that this will make it more difficult to export other commodities and harm the economy in general. It's very hard to make sense out of what Smith is claiming here. It seems to my reading that Smith is confusing real and nominal exchange rates, movements of demand curves with movements along demand curves, and a lot of Chapter 5 to me simply is a muddle. Maybe you can do better with this than I can, but for the time being, I have to give this section pretty much a thumbs down. At the end of Chapter 5 is the well-known digression on the corn trade, and I'll give that its own video. But just keep in mind, when Smith writes of corn, as was British practice of the time, he's really referring to wheat and other grains.